Okay, so continuing.
Yeah, my son Christopher, during school, he played rugby and he was the winger. And I know he came home and he was so excited. He said to me he had a try. I didn't have a clue. I said, well, try harder next time. I didn't realize he meant it.
So culture on both sides,
yeah.
Trying to understand.
Mm-hmm. Then he was saying his friend, you know, each day he laughed, they've had a bit of ear missing, something happened, you know, to them. And I thought it was a dangerous game. And when he was chosen to go abroad, you know, to America, I said, no, you're not going. He goes, but I said, no, you've been telling me the injury they've been having, you're not going, definitely not. Then he says to me, look, you missed my chance. I could have been a millionaire, something like that. Now, thanks to you, you spoiled my chances now. That's what he used to say to me. I said, yes, you might have your ear missing all this, I used to say to him. Mm-hmm. And also,
okay.
And culture got a lot, because my father, the attitude lot was the boys had to work and things like that. So I had a bit of my parents' attitude, because my daughter, apparently she'd done very well in school. I didn't realize how well she was, you know, I know she passed the old levels and things like that, but how well, you know, I could have pushed her on, you know, to go to, I didn't know about going to, you know, push it off a university, or like during school, they have like, you could have had tuition, things like that. I never knew about that. So, you know, since they were in school, you know, because my parents, they never once came to parents' meeting or anything like that.
No. So you basically, you only knew what you experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
All that experience, and you put it on to yours. And because with mine then, he went to, well, there was racism in school with my son. I remember when he was little, junior, where he say I live here, and the school was like just down the cross road, and I walked through, and I could see him outside, you know, standing by the door. So I asked him, what are you doing out there? The teacher sent him out. I said, what for? He said, because he has to go to the toilet, and they won't let him go. They told him, if you want to go to the toilet, you should have done it in break time. They won't let him. And that he wet himself, and they kept him. So I went to school, and I complained to the headmaster about it. And I wanted to see her. So with her, with his teacher, me, and the headmaster. So I said to him, I asked my son, and he told me that you would say to him that they were not just him, the whole class. You got to, if you want to go to the go a break time. But then, you know, the little boys, you know, the boys like to play first, and they come in. And she would just punishing him, you know, and make him wet himself and keep him there. She'd do it all the time. He was prideful. So I said to him, I asked my son, he told me exactly what happened. I said, and you know, and I know my son. I said, not the sort of person who say my son wouldn't do this or do that. I said, you know him, and he wouldn't tell lies. I said, well, you seem to be the type of person, you're very quick to put a child down and make them out to be the liar. And then the headmaster went, ladies, please, let's not antagonize one another, you know, at that time. And I noticed it then. But then when he went on to but what they do in school, they put on a report on the child then, she must put a terrible report on him. Because when we went to the school then, the teacher he had was awful. He wasn't being taught English. I can't remember how I found out. But then I phoned the school. I went up to see the headmaster. And as it happened, I knew the headmaster, because he attended the same church, we're in the same church. So I said to him, I kept on phoning him, but I didn't get nowhere. That I actually put in writing. When I put in writing,
mm-hmm.
I had a reply the following day asking me to come in. And then he said to me, I said she's refusing to teach him English. I asked her why. Her excuse was, someone like your son is very good at maths, and when they're good at maths, they're no good at English. I said, that's the reason that if him being coming to school is to learn, isn't it? And the headmaster said, don't worry, Mrs. Hester, leave it with me. But what she did, because he insisted she had to teach him, she went off sick rather than teach him. But he said, don't worry about him, I'll make sure he'll be okay. But he did make sure he was okay. Set him a program, which he passed, and sent him to college. And when he went to college, they gave him a program. He passed, put him through to university then, you know. So he kept his word that way. It was terrible, the school racist then. So when I met this chap, I told him, he came to see me, he was from Africa. And I said to him about, in Newport, they're very racist, there's no teachers there, black teachers. So I said to him, because he took over, there's a place called GEMS, G-E-M-S, Gwent Minority Support Service, something like that. It was first of its kind in Newport. And I said, well, you've got the building. I said, if you can train, if I get a group of people together, train, get something to train them up to a level, then go into school and teach. So he said, right, he said, what I'll do, I'll apply to the European for funding, and I've got the space there, and you just bring me the people. So I did, I got quite a few, about 12 Caribbean people, I was one. And we had taught English, he got someone from London. She was excellent, her name was Carol. Oh, she was excellent teacher. She really was a patient. She went through everything, and she was so patient. If you want to help with anything, you know, don't be afraid to ask, you know. But she got us through it. And while she taught us, when we did it, then we had to go into various schools, colleges as well. And we'd be assessed by it and marked as well by the teacher. So we'd done all that. We all passed. But then while we were doing it as well, what I found out, well, the Asian was coming then. And in the schools now, you find the more Asians now. Well, then it was taught English as a second language, because I explained, as Caribbean, even though you speak English, it's like pidgin English, you know. And when you're writing, the grammar is not the same. It's not. Whereas, you know, with the Asian, they're going to school, they're getting the help out one-to-one. That's why they do better than this. And there was a survey came around, do we need that extra help? And I said, yes, we needed it. I worked in the community, and there was the other ones, nobody speak English, not the old, oh, it's ridiculous. They poo-poo it, and so that went by the wayside. Not the end of that. Because I... that was that. But they do need, you know, what's there? They definitely need, definitely.
The extra support.
They do, yeah. Because when you're writing, it doesn't flow so easy, you know, and get your thoughts into chronic order, like, you do need that support, definitely.
How important is it, do you think, for the next generation to hear and to know the stories of people like you and your parents and that kind of thing?
I think it's very important, you know, to put definitely. And I think they definitely need that support in school as well. They really do. Because it will help a lot. That support, you know, in the reading, the writing.
Why is it important?
Well, it's important for them to achieve later on, you know, in their adulthood, to get good jobs, you know, and things like that. And to be able to express themselves, you know, be their own voice as well. They need a voice, don't they? And they need someone to look up to as well in school. And so there's no one they can look up to who's a voice for them within the community. There's nothing here in Newport, nothing at all, you know, where they can go and meet and support. It's like, for instance, being ill as well, there's nothing like within the age. They've all got that support, you know. They need a bit of them. The link need to go back as far as their country as well, I think, with the High Commission, them supporting them over here. Link it up. That's a good thing. Because with the Asian as well, when they're buying all this property, they link it up with their government. So they're linked to the government back home and everything.
Is there any other thing you'd like to say about Britain, about being British, about feeling British or not feeling British? Do you feel more British or more Caribbean?
They're both
So you describe yourself as what? Ethnicity wise.
I would say Black British. No matter where I go, I open my mouth, oh, you're from Wales, I tell you're from California. I was in St. Kitts as well. And this white girl came up to me. She said to me, how do they accept you here? You know, St. Kitts with your accent as a Welsh and a speaking person. They always say that to me, always. On the train, you know, they goes, oh, yeah, go Shirley Bassey. That's what they always say. Yeah. The moment I open my mouth.
Yeah. Do you feel more Welsh or more British? Do you think there's a difference between being Welsh and being British?
The Welsh are very racist. Very, very racist. But it's only now when older I realised, because when I was younger, I went to my friend's house before, and she didn't let me in. She won't be able to go in. I said, why haven't you invited me? And I invited you in straight away. But she didn't, you know, she closed the door. She wasn't allowed to invite me, and I realised then. I didn't at the time, it's only later on, when you're grown up, you realise these things.
Her parents didn't allow you?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want you around.
They didn't want to let me in, you know. Because, and as for friends, like I said, I realized growing up that racism is not in the school that define the mixture. It starts within the home. Without that's 100% the parents, you know.
Is there any hope? Is there anything we can do about that?
I think they see in the school it's all just, white faces. They see a mixture. That would help as well, because when I was teaching in the school as well, I couldn't believe it. The teacher was doing something. She used a letter N. She chose a letter to the class, named something beginning with N, and they went nigger. I couldn't believe it. But the teacher didn't even blink. She acted if it was, the children acted if it was something normal. So obviously it was terrible. So when I came back, I went to, I reported them. But they were worried because this chap came to see me, was from the council. He said to me, they're worried that you might take it further and all this. I said, I got no intention of taking it further. The person, what I want, I'd like it to go on a course, you know, and I'd like to be around to make sure she did go on there. But they said I couldn't be there and all this nonsense. So it was gems, you know. I don't know what's going on. But then because of that happened, there was this, what they did, when I was in school, there was this blonde girl with blue eyes. It was my husband's niece, look, she called me Auntie Gwen. They didn't realize we were related. So she started picking, and she said, oh, she seems to be tired in school. Do you think she's, getting me to be negative? But I just ignored her. Because in the school, during the breaks, they talk about each child. Like, I remember there was this little boy, this mixed race boy, and he was very bright and clever. And because he was mixed race, they would always put him down in the thing, kept him down. So they got a lot to do with your background and things like that. And they judge you in the school, they judge you a lot. I noticed that.
It seems that if you are a person of color, you're non-white, that the system is already geared against you, so to make it, you have to work extra hard, I guess.
It's the mentality. It's like, it's institutionalized, isn't it? In all these, every one of them.
Well, Gwen, I will leave you to have your lunch. And I think this is it. It feels. Do you say anything else you want to say?
Oh, please don't forget to get in touch with them. The embassy for sink is the High Commissioner. Well, the flag, please sink it, please. That'd be good. Because if I have the flag to go against, you know, my father, you know, my mother from St. Kitts, my mother's from St. Kitts as well, you know.
Thank you. Thank you for your time,
Grant. I'd done a play on the French Room. It was very, so good. The chap I done it with, he was a Jamaican chap. He'd never, when he came over here, he didn't know about the French Room because he came over late. He came over in the late 60s and he never even had a French Room. He never even owned his house. So everything what I told him is what I did and the names of my sisters as well. I gave, and we wrote it together, but he took it all and took the play. Oh, I was so annoyed with him, but I thought to take it further.
Do you have any of those things still, like gramophone and all those kinds of things? Do you own anything like that?
No, I never ever had, no. I won't want anything like that.